Okay, transformations and awakenings. The traditional institutions continued to lose credibility in 2011. There's a quote I put up on the blog this week from financial markets, one of the derivative experts, who said, governments gambled on a return to growth solving all the problems. That bet has failed. Pretty good description. The New York Times, in fact, declared 2011 is the year that governments lost credibility. Governments have been a juggernaut of wealth destruction. I put up this week an interesting dissent from the Financial Crisis Commission, Peter Wallison, explaining that through HUD, Fannie Mae, and Freddie Mac, in fact, the government had created the financial crisis, not Wall Street. Now, it's kind of, you know, two sides of the same coin, but Wallison takes a point that the mortgage bubble could never happened if it hadn't been engineered with significant effort on the part of HUD and the government. It could never have happened. And in fact, as I've talked about many times, the government investment, not just in the United States, but in many places, has a negative return on investment, and that's because a lot of what we've seen government used for is to help centralize political and economic control, and in the process, certainly in the United States, buying off people and corporations and municipalities and many different constituencies to kind of engineer things for the big multinational corporations. So there's been a lot of sort of creating wealth falsely, and now we've reached the day of reckoning. And so we see huge challenges in budget deals in the U.S. and Europe that underscore how far the whole affair has gotten off track of fundamental economics. So it's one of the examples of this losing of credibility is the disgust which we see in the United States with both parties. And I think one of the problems both parties have coming into the primary season is it's hard to get people interested in any of them. So, you know, and the polls confirm that tremendous lack of interest in both parties. We saw as part of this awakening activism break out all across the planet. Some say it was activism and a desire for freedom. Others say it was a rise in food prices as well as more IMF and World Bank fiddling with regulation and subsidies. We saw Arab Spring, Occupy Wall Street, continuing Tea Party activism, whether it was, it's literally all around the world. We literally see towns striking in China. But people are angry at the corruption and the explosion of the internet and handheld devices and social media facilitate a lot more communication and collaboration. Unfortunately, they also facilitate a lot more sort of entrainment and manipulation of what otherwise could be a lot of very sincere, particularly young people. The test of activism both in 2011 and 2012 is going to come down to two questions. Is it decentralizing? So does it serve the interests of decentralization or does it serve the interests of centralization? And is it wealth building or wealth destroying? Because what we need is we need activism which is both decentralizing and wealth building. So, for example, Occupy Wall Street's efforts to shift bank accounts out of the big banks and into the community banks and credit unions was decentralizing and wealth building. Shutting down small business and ports in Oakland was centralizing and wealth shrinking. Better to pay attention to farmers than Wall Street. What we pay attention to grows, and what we need to focus on is what we want to grow. So, for example, our donation at Christmas time this year was to the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund. The most decentralizing thing in the world is to break up the control of the food supply and to make sure that our food is healthy and nutritious, and that is very wealth building. I think 2012 will see much greater awakening. And it's why I am such an optimist and keep stressing that the beginning is near. The bad news is the beast is coming out of the closet, and I don't need to tell you all the negative things going on from chemtrails to GMO to even nuclear war, and we'll talk about that when we get to the empire. But the good news is the beast is out of the closet. And I must say, just on a personal note, all my life I've struggled with with having dealt with the beast in a variety of contexts, and yet walking around in a world where people pretend the beast isn't there and doesn't need to be dealt with. And somehow I think the beast coming out of the closet gets us to the point where we can see it, it can lose credibility, we can start to ask the questions and move forward. And so it starts by changing ourselves and how our resources work. And I think the more appalled we are at the beast, the more we can start to change. I'll give you some examples because there's a lot of very positive things going on. We saw a town in Florida that got water, the fluoride removed from their town water supply, and in the process saving a couple $100,000 on the town budget, because it's amazing how much of the sort of negative things going on can be very expensive to us as taxpayers. So it's a perfect example, of course, is walking through your municipal and state budgets and getting the negativity reversed. There's a wonderful town in England, I put this story up on the blog, that in response to 9/11 started seeing if they couldn't grow food in the town commons. And they grew more and more. And the, basically the rule was, if you were walking by some food that was ready to be harvested and you could use it, just take it. And in fact, now it's been so successful that they have a plan to get food self-sufficient as to fruits and vegetables within a couple more years just in their common areas. What a great thing. And it could make a huge difference to household budget. We've seen lots of places that have fought and slowed down smart meters, cell towers, big box stores, all sorts of efforts. We even now, this is fantastic, and it was up on the see the Montana Supreme Court reversed the Supreme Court decision on corporate funding of elections and campaign contributions, at least within Montana, and of course all sorts of efforts to support and get the right guys elected in the local sheriff's race. There are millions of more, but it's all a reminder that this is trench warfare and there's a lot to be done. In the process of awakening, be very careful of manipulation, because a lot of the worst proposals are often sort of manipulated to make them look like they come from the grassroots. And as you've heard me say, this coming back from Switzerland, one man's echo village is another man's labor camp. So be very wary of, again, of anything that is not decentralizing, and very, very supportive of individual rights and human rights, and including property rights. So it's time to write a new story. One of the most important things, I think, for all of us in 2012 is there is a great deal of effort to scare people, whether it's media trying to get your attention or it's the New World Order folks who want more control and your fear gives them more power or government more power. I'm reminded of two of my favorite quotes. One is from Caroline Casey, who says, "Our circumstances are far too dire for the luxury of realism." And another from Scripture, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for and not yet seen." It's very, very important this year that that we have faith in our picture of the future, as opposed to some pretty ugly pictures that are trying to be sort of foisted on us. Don't let them do it. One of the positive things we saw in Occupy Wall Street was the ability of young people to organize and collaborate in very unhierarchical ways, and that's one of the very positive things, or one of the positive developments that could make a real difference as we all continue to get networked. The awakening is positive. We're going at the because of the centralization, we need a way to change and transform, which is beyond the control of any central point. And so that comes down to each one of us taking actions, again, that are both decentralizing and wealth building for us, and therefore wealth building for our families and our communities. So the awakening is positive. It needs to come, and we need to nurture change with a positive heart and avoid the fear.